Yeah, where do I start? I'd say, so yesterday, I, you know, celebrated my birthday, which was amazing. So just giving thanks to God for bringing me round the sun once again. But I think what God has been doing in my life is teaching me about loving myself, actually. I've come from a lot. I've been going through a lot. I'm still going through a lot. But through it all, I'm learning to love myself. I've lost a lot of weight, which is amazing. That was a big, big thing for me in terms of my relationship with food. And food was linked to a lot of how I was treating myself, how people were treating me. But also, I'm going to be lead in another musical, in my first musical professionally, which is amazing. And that is telling a story about just how black people have come up in this country. It's a very near and dear subject point to my heart. And yeah, God is amazing. I didn't have a job at the start of this, well, not the start of this year, maybe May, June, and I was struggling. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm so scared. And now God has got me, he's just providing for me and making things happen for me. And yeah, just teaching me to love myself as well as loving others, and helping me to walk in integrity in that. So yeah, God is good. Amen.
Amen. Who's next? Ben? Oh, you're going to preach to us, Dan. Well, oh. Come on, Dan.
Morning, everyone. I'm going to just start with a Bible verse, and I'll get into it. So some of you will recognize it. It's Matthew 28:18-19. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now, some of us in the room and online have just come back from the MLG conference. It's a great time catching up with people and catching up with new people as well. And also, as Martin knows, we had the football tournament. It was good fun, but if people want to know about my performance, it was old school defending, and I will have got several yellow cards, but we move on from that. So yeah. Now, you could probably tell from the verse that I've just read that the theme of the conference was go into all the world. As most of the speakers said last week, that you can share the gospel, but do not get disguised. If you have high and low moments, you're sharing about Jesus. Sometimes you're just the starting block to people becoming Christians, but God has always got it in control. I actually want to share something that happened before the conference. It was about a month ago now. I met up with an old school friend just one evening, and in that conversation we started to talk about church and Jesus. It came out of nowhere, and something I was not expecting from him. I was able to share that church is not a building, it's a family, and we build each other up in the love of Jesus. It's a short time together, but I felt so encouraged that I was able to just to share the love of Jesus in a small way. So I was actually trying to work out a way to end this in talking about the highs and lows of going into all the world, sharing about Jesus. Now, I've got a question here. I think only John knows the answer. Does anyone know why this month and year is significant about being at this church? It's actually 10 years. So I've been here 10 years. At the end of this month, I joined this church. I sat at the back over there, quietly snuck in because I got lost and I was actually very late, but we move on from that. I can even remember who led worship and who spoke that day. I think it was Jana and Timo's dad. Anyway, so most of you have seen me have some low moments and a lot of high moments in walking with God while being at this church. I can proudly announce that I've become a product of this church family, encouraged me in doing stuff, and I cannot imagine doing stuff 10 years ago or even before that in showing the love of Jesus to me. I'm loving every moment of it, and I'm looking forward to continuing this journey with you guys. So, people in the room and online, sharing about going into all the world, let us continue and do not get disguised. As I said before, we start people on the journey to find Jesus, but we're not always there in the end. Sometimes we might get disappointed, but he's bigger than us. Here's a verse that has encouraged me at the start of the conference, because I want to share it and end it with you this way. So it's from Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose."
Thanks, Dan. And Yana.
Thanks, John. Morning, church. So I, like Dan, just came back from the MLG conference, which was a great conference, by the way. And you've also heard the main theme was going out there, basically. Most of you here will know, before going to the conference, I was just really in a really bad state, because I'd just been broken by so many things in my life in the time before. I still am in so many ways, but I'm really grateful to God that I decided to go to the conference anyway. So when I went to the conference, I wasn't really looking at the external things. I was actually focusing on me, because I needed to hear God for myself, because I was in that space where I was just like, Lord, this is more than I can carry. But anyway, I'm just here just to testify that God is faithful and God is good. The word of God was very strong in the conference, and it was really, to me, by and large, very simple. And by that, I mean it was just the pure word of God. The word of God that accomplishes what it is set out to do. A few things stood out to me, and I'm just going to mention two of them. So the first one was about going out to the world and our own prejudices. I can never say this word, because but anyway, so there. So we read the scripture from, well, we didn't read the scripture, but we referred to the scripture from Matthew, from Acts chapter 8, and that is where we meet Philip and also the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch was actually on his way back home, and he was coming from a conference in Jerusalem. And he was sitting in his chariot and reading the Bible. And the Bible says that he was reading from Isaiah. And the point of it was that this man had actually gone up to Jerusalem to get filled. But the apostles were so preoccupied at that moment in preaching to the Jews only. And mind you, these are the apostles that had just been filled with the Holy Spirit and sent out to go to the world. But they got preoccupied just preaching to the Jews. And here's a man who'd gone all the way, who wasn't a Jew, and he's on his way back from that conference equivalent, and he's still hungry for God because he did not meet God up where he was meant to meet God. And the take from the message for me was, so what are our prejudices in terms of how we reach people and how we minister to people and how we tell people about Christ. People can be amongst us. We can live amongst people and people can see us on a day-to-day busy with the things of God, and but we don't actually minister to them to the point that God, through the Holy Spirit, had to send Philip to meet with this man on his way back from the conference to say, do you understand the scriptures that you're reading? And he's like, how can I understand if no one explains them to me? And in that moment, he meets Christ, not at the conference. So that was, for me, that was really like, it touched my heart because I was like, there are so many spaces and so many places where we have preconceived ideas about what prejudice looks like. Who do we minister to? Who do we reach out to? Who do we not? Who do we just be like, oh, that one is a problem. I'm not going to bother because they're going to do A, B, C, D, you know? And so that was really a challenge to me. And so that really touched my heart. And then the second point I just wanted to make, and someone else, I shared this with someone else who did not attend a seminar that I did. And then she was like, you need to say this in church. And I was like, no. And she was like, yeah, you need to say it. And I was like, okay, fine. So I'm going to say it anyway. It's a really, really small point that touched me. And I went to a seminar where some of you know Sarah's parents. They were missionaries some time back. So they were sharing about their experience when they went out in the mission world and all the challenges they face and how they raise their children and everything. It was a blessing. But at the end of it, someone who was praying then said, you know, God provides for all of us to do that work, but he does not give you the provision before you step out. The provision is when you're out there, because if it's given while you are set in your comfort zone, it will be wasted. So that challenged me as well, just to think about all the things that you're like, I can't do that because I'm like this and I'm like that. Unless and until you step out, you will never know. And that dream might die within you. So that was a challenge for me. And I hope it challenges you too.
Amen. Thanks, Nyala. Would anyone else like to share? Yeah, come on, Blessing.
Amen. Good morning, church. Yeah. I just want to thank God over my life. Because like I could imagine, I can't remember where I'm coming from. But God has been faithful. I want to thank God for protecting me, going out in the morning and coming back safely. I want to thank God over my family. I want to thank God for my friends. I want to thank God for providing for me. Who am I? God has been so good to me. The guy that just come from nowhere. Oh, I see the hand of God. I see the grace of God. I see the word of God. And I'm so happy to be part of this church. Because he has been modeling me like, and I really appreciate God for everything. He has been good. And I thank God for my mom. She has been there for me, encouraging me in the word of God and everything. I can't even thank God enough because he has been so good to me. Permit me to sing a song. Please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Love it. Who would like to follow that?
First of all, I'm not going to bless you all by singing. that's not my strength. And I'm glad blessing can do that because it's encouraging. I didn't go to the conference last week. I was here along with some of us who were here. And I just want to testify that whether you're here or whether you're there, God is with us. And I came in last Sunday not knowing what was going to happen because there was lots of unknowns because it was that particular Sunday of the year. If you were here, you were able to enjoy the third in my series that's taken me now 3 years to do. I'm not sure if it was recorded, but anyway, that happened. But I started off thinking, well, how do I get all that stuff in the corner over there working? Because it's been a long, long time since I've been involved with that, and it's changed a lot. So I'm sitting there trying to muddle my way through. First thing I had to do was find out what the password was, because without that, you can't do anything. Anyway, quickly got hold of Dan, and he passed it on to me. And then Leon came in and said that he had volunteered or had been volunteered to do the words. I said, oh, that's good. I said, do you know how this all works? He said, no. He said, but John said, you'll be here. And I thought, well, I don't know. Anyway, we started to try and get it working. And then it was a time just to have our come together for some prayer at the beginning of the meeting. And halfway through this meeting, this prayer time, Helen prayed. And she prayed that all the technology would work. As simple as that, please God, let this technology work. And we finished praying. Leon and I went over there, and everything ran really smoothly from then. It fell into place. We worked out what had to do. And as I said last week, Leon and I started off as amateurs but ended up as professionals. And that's how God works, isn't it? He does that to perfect us and move us into places where we... And we can rely on him to do those things that we can't do. Amen. Amen.
Just quickly on that theme, I had the privilege to be involved in a professional dance production, and I'm an amateur. I can't dance really, but I've taught Pilates for the last 10 years, so I've, you know, learnt to balance on one leg and I can hold the balance. But we did a workshop a couple of weeks ago at the Scout Hut, just near my house, and there was the lady with the flags. If anyone wants to see the video, it's a beautiful video showing the story of creation through dance, Adam and Eve, the fall, redemption, pilgrimage. And it's beautiful. And I've shown it to my grandchildren, shown it to people with a little bit of dementia. And I've been amazed at how dance can tell a story of victory over sin. And it's just beautiful, that whole story of being banished from the Garden of Eden, but in the creative arts. And I'm not a dancer, so I'm not a professional, but I don't quite know how I've been involved in just doing a little dance to the Lord's Prayer and the blessing and the fruits of the Spirit. And I was a planet as well, and Mars the planet. But it's been delightful, and it's been lovely that I just thank the Lord, really, because he does give you the desires of your heart, or he does, and like you say, you step out of the boat. It was beyond what I could do, but in that sort of environment with prayer, that it's almost like a river. You get taken along on that river. So anyone who's interested in, if we do another workshop or if anyone wants to learn to do some of the flags. Martin Charles came to the workshop, actually, and a lady from River Church. And it's just up the road from our house. which is a blessing. I've been able to hire this and people come from different parts of the country. But near there is the underwater conduit that goes to Eltham Palace. And if you read in the Bible, there's lots of stories about unblocking wells, especially in Genesis. And I sort of think, is there spiritual wells that are blocked? You know, how can we make a difference in this world? And, you know, there's something I don't quite understand fully about unblocking the worlds with praise and worship and doing prayer walks around places. And because our capital's been, you know, there's all these sorts of flags that people wave in London now. And it's just lovely to wave flags to worship God. Children can do it. Anyone can do it with the right flag. So, yeah, that's my testimony.
Well, on the subject of flags, let's finish with a scripture. It's my encouragement from the conference, and just to give you a bit of context, Blasius Futang, who was our guest speaker from Cameroon, he told a story that in Cameroon they would do conferences every year, and he said, this was in the 80s, like 1885, there was 400 came forward, and in 86, 500 came forward, and in 87, 400 more came forward. And he said, and then they stopped and they realized that none of those people, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm generalizing, came into the church. And they stopped and then they said, we need to pray. So they started to pray. And then he said that then God started to move in people's lives outside of conferences, and they started to just come into the church. And this isn't about growing churches. Church is an expression of God moving and bringing people into community together as his body, etc., etc. Because we're called to make disciples, not converts. And it really struck me because I thought, and we know that we need to pray. Because without prayer, God can do what God wants to do. I'm not saying that God is bound by us, but God has somehow made it in such a way that involves prayer, in that we work with him in prayer to bring about his purposes. And so this is a brief encouragement that we need to pray. But what was interesting in hearing that story was there was evidence, real evidence, where it could look like God is moving powerfully, and God is always moving, but there was something missing that they realized that they had to turn it on their head and say, we need to pray. And I just want to read a story that came to mind. This is Exodus 17, and it's from verses 8 to 16. I'm just going to read it, and then I'm just going to sum up in the next couple of minutes. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him, fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone, put it on under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then Moses, the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of the Lord, called the name of it, the Lord is my banner, which is the flag thing, saying, a hand upon the throne or banner of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, a banner, there's a couple of things here. A banner is something that would be like a big flag with a motif on it that would display for so that everyone could look on it and be encouraged and be and have hope and will be drawn together. I've got some notes. I think you would prefer me to use my notes. So think of that banner being lifted up on high. So a banner is a signal, a standard, And when Moses built an altar, he called it, "The Lord is my banner." Okay? A flag raised up, a banner lifted up, and it represents Jesus. Okay? Now, there's a couple of verses here. Isaiah 11:10, it talks about the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, talking about Jesus. Numbers 21:8, you know the story, some of you will know. There was children of Israel had sinned and snakes came in and were biting them and they were dying. And Moses brought out a bronze serpent on a stick. Now that bronze serpent, the word for the pole is the same word for banner. So raised up this thing, and when they looked at it, then they were healed. And it's a picture of Christ up on the tree. When we look to Christ, we are healed, we are forgiven, we are saved. And so, anyway, so that's the banner bit. So imagine there is something being lifted up. And so you've got the banner lifted up, and then you've got the arms of Moses being lifted up. And whenever his arms were lifted up, the army would win. When he dropped his hands, the army would lose. So you got the battle going on the ground. They're fighting. Who is the cause of the winning of that battle? Anyone? What's the cause? What's the root of the victory of that battle? Moses lifting up his hands. So when his arms dropped. But if Moses went up on the mountain and there was no army, how would the battle be won? You need the army and you need the prayer. There's another verse, same principle. Unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor in vain. Did you see it? Unless the Lord builds a house, those that labor in vain. In other words, we need to be employed in the prayer. Without the prayer, there is no victory. You can have the battle. Of course, we need to not just sit in our rooms praying. We need to be active. We need to be doing, but not without prayer. So if that's a principle, that because of what Christ has done through prayer, we're lifting up something. Maybe we're lifting up Jesus. We're lifting up our prayers. We're working with God in prayer. We're praying for our community. We're praying for the Alpha Course, or we're praying for our young people and our kids' work. We're praying for fresh ground. We're praying. We still need to be doing the youth work, doing Alpha, doing fresh ground, yeah? But without prayer, that's our secret weapon. And we've got to be about it. We could have many people coming in and out and hearing things. Maybe lots of people coming into Alpha and all these things. But without prayer, we will not be making disciples. That's my point I want to land on. And I want us to think about this over the summer. Because if we're going to do a marriage course in the autumn, why do a marriage course if there's no prayer going on? If there's no Moses, Hur and Aaron standing on the hill lifting up while this is going on? Okay, so I had the privilege of praying, and some of us, Dan was there as well, and Dan, we would pray, and some others prayed while Alpha was going on. And I know in previous times, and maybe some of you prayed at home, I saw that as the most important part of the Alpha course. But that alone is not going to bring people under the sound of the gospel. We still need the Alpha course. You get the conundrum. We need to pray. We need to pray. Pray. And when I heard that man talk about 400 people, he said, "I stopped doing responses in the meeting." He was stopped saying, "Come forward if you want to receive Jesus," because God was doing it in the homes and they were coming to the meeting. That's what we wanted, the reality of people meeting Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. I think if you was to spend some time there, And you just imagined your life right now. And if I said to you, "Teresa, every day there's going to be 3 people up on the mountain praying for you," would you be encouraged? I know I'm just saying Teresa, but I'm telling everyone. I would. You know, if you said to me, "John, I've committed to pray for you every day," I'd say, "Thank you. I can certainly give you some fuel for your prayers. I've got a long list." So what about the people in this community? What about for our young people? What about all these things that we want to pray for? But particularly, I'm interested in this one thought. What should we do in the church where we don't need to pray for? I'm talking ministries, I'm talking activities. What can we do where we don't need to pray for it? I'm just switching it over a bit because I'm hoping you're thinking, but surely, John, we should be praying for everything. I've gone over time. So let's consider, should we be doing things like the marriage course without prayer? Maybe you can pray about that. Let's finish with this. Romans 12, verse 12 says this, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you for our time of worship. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for these testimonies. Thank you for blessing, singing. Lord, what a wonderful thing, Lord. You are here, not just up the front or in this building, but in our lives. And may we, Lord, just know you more and more in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. We do have some tea and coffee. I hope you can stick around. Just to remind you, I don't know if there's anything going on in the week. There's no, yeah.